Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, with undiagnosed dyslexia. He earned a bachelor's and master's degree from Wake Forest University and a doctorate degree from Harvard University. For 5 years, he was superintendent of the Duval County Public Schools in Jacksonville, Florida. And since 2017, he's been the superintendent of DPS Community School District. DPS currently has 50,000 students, 107 schools, 6,000 employees. His name, Dr. Nikolai Vitti. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to the man with the easiest job in Detroit, Dr. Nikolai Vitti, that's a joke, who since 2017 has been the superintendent of DPS Community School District. Doctor, welcome. An honor to have you.
Oh, thank you. Honor to be on the show.
Can we start by talking about your childhood in Dearborn Heights?
Sure.
And your mom and your dad?
Yeah. Great memories and difficult memories. I think that's how I would describe it. But proud of my roots and where I come from. I come from a working class immigrant family that in many ways I think represents the best of Detroit, of Metro Detroit. And I wouldn't be sitting right here talking to you if it wasn't for them. I learned a lot about what to do and not to do because of my family. But what my family was always about was love. And support. I think I would say that my family struggled just navigating being in this country and just dealing with the challenges of being young parents and struggling through jobs and life. But as I said, they always loved me, and I appreciated that. And I think through that love, it allowed me to build confidence. And that confidence let me work through difficult challenges with learning and school. And fortunately, I was a good athlete, which opened up doors for me to college. And once I got to college, I started to wake up intellectually and realize that I was more than just an athlete, and that there was a mind. And I always had passion and a hard work ethic, and I started to focus on school. And that led me to realize that going to college was an opportunity that a lot of people in my family or people that I grew up didn't have. And I realized I wanted to use that for greater good. And for me, that greater good and the vehicle for that was education, because in my own life, it was transformative just to understand, to have that intellectual awakening of the world around you, who you are, who you're not, and the challenges that exist. And thought about being a lawyer, being a public defender, and thought, no, once you're caught up in the criminal justice system, it's almost too late. Thought about being a doctor, but math and sciences were challenging at times. And then I just came back to my own life and my own journey, my own evolution as a person and as a leader, and I thought it was education. And I started as a teacher, and then I realized that I wanted to have a greater impact than just the students in my class. The encouragement of students and other administrators and teachers, I became an administrator, and from there became superintendent. But for me, it's always been about scale. It's about giving back to the community. It's about empowering individuals to see their own gifts and talents. And I feel like that can happen best through traditional public education.
You grew up, Dr. Vitti, with undiagnosed dyslexia. Paint for us a picture of the life of a person with dyslexia.
That's a heavy question. Struggle. School was hard. I didn't understand concepts when they were first taught. I struggled as a reader. I was called dumb and stupid at times because I couldn't process things as quickly and naturally as other students. It was hard, and I think that's how I would best describe it. Luckily, I was a good athlete and popular, so that allowed me to go to school and enjoy school on a more social level. But the academic work was difficult, and luckily, going back to what I said earlier, a family that provided love and individuals at school, coaches, just built my self-esteem and provided a support network. And it wasn't until college, latter part of high school, started to wake up intellectually. There were individual teachers that would say to me, "Nikolai, do you know how smart you are?" And that was a profound statement when they would tell me that I was smart. And this was the latter part of high school. And I said, you know, no one really said that I was smart before. I didn't hear that. And I started to recognize, and they would say, the things that you say in class are things that aren't taught in a classroom, aren't taught in a book. You understand the world. You understand issues. Naturally, you're a critical thinker. You just need to apply yourself and start to understand the skills that you lack and hone those skills to be more successful in the school environment. And I started to dedicate myself more on reading and writing. That started a latter part of high school and then really accelerated in college. And so overall, I would say elementary school, middle school was very hard because the focus of that is all basic skills and information. It wasn't until latter part of high school you start getting into more critical thinking, analysis, application, where learning became more relevant to the world and specific subjects, and that's when I started to accelerate academically, and then it really took off in college. But I would say it was hard, difficult. I would never want to go back to where I was when I struggled through school, but. You know, I tell people often that's why I wanted to go to Harvard. And my goal was to go to Harvard because I felt that if I was able to go to Harvard, get a degree from Harvard, no one could ever say that I was stupid again. And the things that I advocated for and I wanted could be justified with a Harvard degree, not just because I said it. And it's been a hard, difficult journey, but I'm proud of what I've accomplished, and I'm deeply grateful to all the people that allowed that to happen, and there are a number of people that allowed that to happen beyond myself.
We're talking to Dr. Nikolai Vitti, and speaking of dedicating, he met Rachel and has dedicated their life together, raising four children. They were both teachers. When we come back, we're going to ask him, how was it he went from teaching to school administration? I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Dr. Nikolai Vitti. From 2012 through 2017, he was the superintendent of Duval County Public Schools in Jacksonville, Florida, the 20th largest district in America. Talk about that chapter of your life, doctor.
So that was my first superintendency. I had just left Miami, and Miami had just won the Broad Prize for Excellence in Urban Education. I was the chief academic officer there and was recruited to become superintendent in a number of different places and stayed in Miami. And then the superintendency opened up in Jacksonville. Jacksonville is one of the larger school districts in the country, obviously, as you said, and one of the larger school districts in Florida. And Jacksonville had been known as the lowest performing large urban school district in Florida. And I loved being in Miami. I was deeply supported by the superintendent, by the school board, by the community. I loved living in Miami, and it was hard for me to leave, but I felt I was ready to be superintendent, and I was ready for that next challenge and sense of responsibility to transform learning opportunities for students. So I went to Jacksonville as a agent of change. The community was ready for change, wanted to improve, and I had this background of success in Miami and doing work statewide in Florida. And I took the superintendency in Jacksonville because it was in Florida, and I felt that that was important to leverage the relationships, the work, the knowledge that I had of Florida to do that transformative work in Jacksonville. The work there was difficult because although people, not everyone believed that Jacksonville needed to change. And so there was a lot of resistance in the system. There was support outside of the school system, but not always in the system. At times, the school board was divided about whether they wanted reform or they wanted a status quo. But despite those obstacles, we did a lot of work in a short amount of time where I was proud to say that at the end of the Jacksonville journey, although we were bottom at the bottom as far as ranking in a number of different areas, when I left, we were one of the highest performing school districts with African-American graduation rate. Nationally, we're in the top four in fourth grade reading and math and eighth grade reading and math. We were one of the top districts with English language learner graduation rate. Tremendously improved the rate of students having access and completing successfully college ready classrooms, mainly due enrollment, industry certification increased. And I think most people in Jacksonville, although they may or may not have agreed with the reform, I think the consensus when I left was the district that he assumed when he became superintendent was a better district when he left, despite a lot of opposition to the reform. But without a doubt, the school district improved, and I think that's what I set out to do. The work here is different. In some ways, it's the same, but in some ways, it's different in that in Detroit, most people, nearly everyone agreed that we could do better and that we needed to do better. And there's been more openness to the reform and change, and I feel better supported by the overall community, by the board, individuals in the school system. It's been more of a partnership in doing the work and less opposition and fighting and more focusing on children. Proud of the work that happened in Jacksonville, but I think it was in many ways destiny for me to come back here at the time in which I did. And leaving where I left, because where I left, it was painful to go through the work here. It's more about trying to move as fast as we can and keeping everyone together to do right for children. But there's more love and support here. And obviously, it feels like home. I am home. And there's a peacefulness that comes with that.
You came back home in April of 2017 to become the superintendent of DPS Community School District. Please give us a report card of achievements for you and your team in your first 2 years at the helm.
Well, we're only starting. I'll talk about our achievements, but I'll say that we're not even close to where we need to be and where we're going to go. But in two full school years, we can say that we've raised teacher salaries each year. I think teachers feel more supportive. They feel like they're a part of a school system that is about best practice, about reform. They're better supported. I think generally everyone feels excited about the reform and that we're doing things that we should have been doing a long time ago, and that the district is led by an educator that has experience, that has a track record, and not an emergency manager, a political appointment, but someone is deeply committed and understands the work. I think that is definitely one of our greatest successes. Coupled with that, we have a very focused school board that's intentional about what children need, and we have a great working relationship about how we work together, that I run the district and they focus on policy and governance. And that is a strong relationship that I think is essential for the sustainability of the work. So it's not just a flash in the pan in short term, but long term. It's exciting to be able to say that we have music and art in all of our schools. We have physical education back in our schools. an accomplishment to say that we've opened up 6 new schools this school year. I mean, with all the closings that have happened in DPS, to be able to say that we opened new schools linked to a Montessori program, community schools that were closed or run by charters, is a big accomplishment. And then, you know, lastly, and probably most importantly, for the first time, we've had scaled improvement in reading and math based on standardized test scores. And although it's not where we need to be able to say we've had the largest improvement this past year with implementing new curriculum, a lot more training for teachers, more training for principals, to be able to say that this past year we saw the largest improvement in DPS's history under state assessment. And we have schools that are above the state average. We have 3 schools that are above the state average in reading and above the state average in math. And every grade level in K, 3rd to 7th grade that's tested improved. Every grade level in reading, every grade level in math, about 70% of our schools across the board improved. There was improvement for English language learners, African American students, Hispanic Latino students, students with disabilities. Across the board improvement speaks to not only what our children can do and what our employees can do when they're supported, but it speaks to what can be scaled in the years to come. And that's what gets me excited. And I think that's defines our improvement and success at this point. But there's so much work to do and there's so much scale that needs to happen with that improvement. But even those that may have been skeptical, whether it was me, the reform inside or outside of the school system, we now have a proof point that we're moving in the right direction. It's now it's just more time, more support, and more resources to hit the corners where we're not hitting right now regarding the work.
We're talking to Dr. Nikolai Beatty. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 50,800 students in the DPS system. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Dr. Nikolai Beatty, who is the superintendent over 50,800 students, 107 schools, 6,000 employees. If you want to learn more, DetroitK12.org. Doctor, what have these 50,800 students taught you these last 2 years?
Oh, that's a great question. One, I knew this already, but they've taught me that they're ready to do much more, that they are hungry to learn, they're hungry to reach their God-given potential as students, as citizens. And again, I knew that coming in, but when I visit classrooms and I see them alive, ready to learn, I see their intelligence in classrooms based on what they say during class discussion, what they write about, what they say to me privately when I ask them at their individual desk or when I meet with them, is they want the same thing that children outside of Detroit want. They are hungry to be successful, and the system has not done right to them at scale. The system has done right by individual students in the history or the recent history of DPS at individual schools, maybe in individual classrooms, but at scale for 50,000 kids, it hasn't done right. And that's what I've learned through them. And I've also learned that if provided with the right support, the right intervention, the right resources, they will step up and perform like any other child with a right that also receives the right love, support, intervention, and resources. They've also taught me that they are beyond strong, stronger than your average student in this country, based on what they go through. And a lot of people don't understand that. You know, when you're talking about deep challenges with poverty, with instability sometimes with home life, socioeconomic factors that parents and families go through. When they're able to come to school and just deal with family issues and just focus on teaching and learning, that in and of itself should be recognition of respect and love, and we don't talk enough about that. We just assume many people in this country assume that the average child experiences what they experienced, so they view and they judge based on what they've experienced. And we say this as a cliche, but you have to put yourself in other people's shoes. And that's very hard to do because of barriers of social class and race, zip code, proximity, all those things. But what our children, you know, I know of stories of students that were in a fire, that their apartment complex was in was linked to a fire, and students went to school the next day. And with books that were burnt on charred because of that, and they were in school the next day. Kids that move from home to home because of eviction, go from parent to uncle to grandparent in the course of a couple of weeks and still go to school every day. Kids that come to school without clothes being washed, with the same shirt day after day, and they still come to school. You know, so what I have seen, again, I know this because of my previous experiences and even some experiences growing up, but through the eyes of the actual 50,000 students that are in our system, they're hungry, they're able, they're capable, they're ready. It's just us that have to get it right as the adults and the greater society to give them what they need to be successful, just like any other child in this country.
Dr. Nick Lyviti, if you want to learn more, DetroitK12.org. Speaking of giving them what they need, you started a parent academy, and 6,000 parents have attended the parent academy in the last year. What is a parent academy?
Well, the parent academy was inspired. So I learned about the Parent Academy. It's not my original idea. I saw it first in Miami. Dr. Rudy Crew, who was one of my mentors, he was superintendent in Miami, and he agreed to be my mentor in the urban superintendents program that I was a part of at Harvard. And he, like me, came from a working class family, and he was always bothered, like I'm bothered or was bothered, continue to be bothered by the assumption that parents don't care about their child's education. I remember when I was a beginning teacher in New York City, I'd be in the faculty lounge and I would hear teachers, unfortunately, say, parents don't care. Oh, that parent doesn't care about their child's education. And there would be an anger that would flame inside my belly when I would hear that, because I know that people probably said the same thing about my mother. My mother didn't go to parent-teacher conferences. She often did not push me up when she needed to about my grades, because she didn't finish high school. She was a teenage mother and went back to get her GED. But my mother did care about my education. She just didn't know how to navigate the system always and know how to advocate on a day-to-day basis. So, well, I saw the Parent Academy in Miami, which was a way to build the capacity and empower parents on an educational level. So I actually wrote my dissertation on the Parent Academy in Miami, because I was intrigued of the structure and how it was used as a vehicle to empower parents. And I would go to these Parent Academy sessions, and it was inspiring to listen to the conversations and how parents would talk about their children, how they would share stories with each other about their children. They would learn from one another from the instructor. And I always said, I bet if this was around, my mother would have appreciated this, and other parents that I was able to engage and learn from as a teacher, as a dean, and then a principal. So I built a Parent Academy in Jacksonville, And I obviously did the same here. And what it's about, it focuses on three areas. One, how to empower parents on academic issues. So what questions asked during a parent-teacher conference? What is this third grade retention law? How to promote literacy in the home? How to talk about math? Just political issues to build critical thinking skills. The other focus is how to be a better parent. So how do you deal with monitoring social media? How do you help a parent work with the child to pick the right friends or to distance themselves from the wrong people, how to deal with teenage drama linked to boyfriends and girlfriends. That's another set of classes. And then the other is, the third is, how do you help parents be whole parents? And what I mean by that is it's really hard for parents to focus on their children when they need better jobs. And so how do we offer classes on how to write a resume, how to save money, how to build credit, English language classes for newly arrived immigrant parents. So it has been empowering for our parents. And ultimately, we want demand parents. So we want parents that did have good high school experiences and mostly have gone to college and have their strong voice and are confident in their voice. We want more parents like that. We want more parents to show up and write me an email and say, Dr. Vitti, we want an advanced placement program at this high school. Dr. Vitti, we want that the water be pure. Dr. Vitti, we don't accept that you had a long-term sub at this school for 3 months. And that grows not only within our school system, but the entire city. So we're talking about higher expectations for a system that needs to better support children. So ultimately, it's about empowering parents on a day-to-day basis to help their children, but it's also to create a critical mass of parents that demand and advocate, even on the behalf of other parents that aren't at that place, to improve their child's education in our school system and across the city, and eventually that can mean across the state of Michigan. And we haven't seen enough of that in the context of Detroit. And so that's the vision behind it.
We're talking to Dr. Nikolai Vitti. If you want to learn more, DetroitK12.org. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're talking to Dr. Nikolai Vitti, who, in his third year, talks about Blueprint 2020, the strategic plan. Doctor, what is it?
So one of the things that was the greatest gap, or one of the greatest gaps in coming into the school system, was the lack of a vision and plan to execute. And we were very intentional about saying, where are we and where do we want to go? And we listened directly from teachers, students, parents, community at large about what's working, what's not, what do we need to do differently. And so the strategic plan is the roadmap of how to get to where we need to go as a school district, which is to show overall improvement, but ultimately to ensure students are ready for college life and the world of work, or the world of work. And so you need a plan to get there. And so we have been very intentional about using our strategic plan to restructure the budget, to fund new initiatives, to take things off the plate that weren't linked to that. And everything is through the lens of the strategic plan, and it holds us accountable to making, when we do make difficult decisions, that we're focused on that strategic plan. We have metrics also tied to the strategic plan linked to literacy and math, how we're spending our funds. So all of it is directed towards that strategic plan, which keeps us focused, aligned, and constantly improving as well as we go about the work. But what I often find, unfortunately, happening in urban school districts throughout the country, and in some ways school districts even outside the urban core, is you can do this work and go about just managing things. You know, you can be at your desk, get paper, respond to emails, and just manage a organization. Or you can lead and transform it. And this strategic plan, and I believe my work and our work, is about transformation. It's about changing the system so that children feel and see and experience that change. This isn't about managing. You know, one thing that was true under emergency management is, I mean, even in the name, emergency management, it's managing, and they didn't really even manage it well, even with more resources and flexibility to do it. So this is about leading change and being transformative with that change, not just management. Our strategic plan allows us to do that.
Dr. Vitti, anybody who's listened to you this evening says, this isn't a job for this man. This is a calling. This is a ministry. Why?
It is. People will say, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're doing this work, but I feel sorry for you. I mean, they'll actually say this. Even CEOs that run different companies will say, I'm glad you're here. I respect what you're doing. You're doing a great job. I'd never want your job. Because of all the challenges and obstacles that you deal with that you can't control like you can in a private sector and in other fields. And one, when I hear that, it hurts me because it in some ways diminishes how this work in leading the organization is similar to leading large, you know, Fortune 500 type of companies. But yet it's different, and it's even more meaningful in that we wouldn't want the most talented CEOs thinking about being superintendents and growing up to wanting to be superintendents is I think part of the problem when we think about why we don't move public education the way it should be moved. But back to your original question, it's a calling and a passion because I see myself in the 50,000 students in the school district. And so, you know, sometimes the history of our last names, the color of our skin, even some of our socioeconomic differences are real in there, and I want to be true to that. But when I talk to our kids and I hear their stories, I see them in class. It's in a lot of ways it's me. And if I can sit here and have this conversation with you with a doctor title in front of my name and a degree from Harvard and a fellowship from Harvard that paid for my full degree, if I can say that to you, then with the right love, support, intervention, that can be the case for 50,000 kids. So I wake up every day, work extremely hard, like my family would work hard, whether it be in a pizzeria or in a construction site or in a hair salon. I take that same work ethic and apply it to my job, and then I lead with experience, mentorship having given to me to push this system as far as it can go with the right balance and speed to keep people together so we can get this right for 50,000 kids. So they, at one point, can speak with the same kind of pride and peace that I've been able to speak to, because teachers, coaches, the community did right by those children so that they have peace with saying, I met my goals. I became who I wanted to be in whatever form that takes. And so what other job would I want than that? That I get paid to do what I'm passionate about doing, what I'm dedicated to do right by 50,000 kids. I can't in the city that was part of my home. What else would you want?
We're talking to Dr. Nikolai Vitti, and he answers that with tears rolling down his cheeks. Paint for us a picture of DPS Community District in 2025.
So in 2025, we're talking about a school system that operates normally, and we're almost there. One, so systems and processes are mature. We take for granted hiring teachers, kids getting to school safe and consistently, enrollment being mature, kids not worrying about safety issues in schools, resources are there. We've defined a problem with our facility challenge. Our schools look the way they look in other parts in this country, even in this state. We see many, many more students going to college, more students prepared to go to college. We see teachers fighting to get a job in coming to DPSED. We see principals leaving this system to go to other systems to be assistant superintendents. We see cabinet members being superintendents in other school districts. We see districts coming here saying, what happened in Detroit? We need to do what you're doing to get this right for kids that aren't getting it right immediately. And we're starting to emerge as the urban school district on the rise from a state assessment point of view, from a national assessment point of view. And not only is there a buzz, but there's a demand to start replicating what we've done here in other places. That's what it looks like in 2025.
Over the last 14 years, I've had a lot of CEOs say, unless we teach the kids how to read and write, all of this rebirth of downtown, midtown, doesn't mean a thing. And, sir, you're doing it. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahom.
Believe in yourself.